Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the latest Disney news and rumors. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the new ChatGPT AI and maybe close out with a little preview of the Every Ride Challenge Day Part 2. I'm going to go join them. That's coming up today. I'm Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host this week. I am Jason. I am joined, as always, by two esteemed colleagues and co-hosts. First, we have Adam.
What's up, everybody?
Good to see you, Adam. And we have John.
We advise you to remain seated while all the smaller bugs exit the theater first. Please no screaming, pushing, stomping, or swearing.
Are you a bug? Is it tough?
It's tough.
Is it tough for you?
It's tough to be a bug.
That's that meet and greet, right? With the bugs. That's the meet and greet, right?
The meet and greet with the bugs, yes.
Well, it's another week at the Walt Disney Company under the fearless direction of Bob Iger.
He showed up for Candlelight Processional.
In the parks. Disneyland. I wonder if he made a park reservation.
Him and DeMauro, they were like twinsies with their sweaters, their black sweaters.
I know, and they looked cheered, and people wanted to see him, and they were happy. I'm pretty sure Chapin didn't even know the Candlelight Processional existed, because if he did, he'd probably been like, well, can we charge for this?
I thought he was present.
Oh, they charge the prefix thing for the dining package, at least at Epcot they do, so.
Yeah.
I thought he was at this Candlelight Processional.
It ain't cheap.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they locked Chapek in a room somewhere.
Yeah. Has Chapek ever been cheered? Probably not.
When he exited.
Well, yeah.
The three of us were having a little bit of fun this week. I brought to y'all's attention the new release from OpenAI, ChatGPT, which is revolutionary in the AI and the generative language model that it has. And we got a little bit of fun with it, and we asked it a series of questions to try to just do the show for us.
Right.
And I don't know if you have maybe Adam then took the script and dropped it in. Yeah. I didn't know if maybe you wanted to give the people a little bit of a clip of what it would sound like if we were replaced by the robots. So I had asked it to originally pretend there is a podcast called Traveling with the Mouse that is about news, rumors, and trip reports from Walt Disney World. This podcast is hosted by three friends, Adam, John, and Jason. Some episodes also talk about theme park challenges like riding all the rides at Disney World. Can you write me a potential script for this podcast? And then we followed up with, can you add a segment where Adam gives a rave review of La Cava del Tequila? This is verbatim what the chat AI came up with. So this is what you'll get if we just get lazy one day and have it generate for us.
Welcome to Traveling with the Mouse, the ultimate source for news, rumors, and trip reports from Walt Disney World. I'm Adam, and with me today are my friends John and Jason.
Hey everyone, we're excited to be back with another episode of the show.
Today, we're going to be talking about some of the latest news and rumors from the park, as well as sharing some of our own trip experiences and tips for planning a visit to Walt Disney World. But first, Adam has something to share with us.
What do you have to share, Adam?
That's right. I recently had the opportunity to visit La Cava del Tequila at the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot, and I have to say, it was amazing. If you're a fan of tequila, this is a must-visit spot at the park.
I've heard a lot of good things about La Cava del Tequila, but I haven't had the chance to go yet. What was your favorite part of the experience?
There were so many things that I loved about La Cava del Tequila. The atmosphere is really cool and intimate, with cozy seating and decor that transports you to Mexico. The drinks are also amazing, with a huge selection of tequilas and margaritas to choose from.
That sounds great, Adam. I've been wanting to try La Cava del Tequila for a while now, I'll have to add.
And that's where it cuts. That's where it cuts off. But we kept going. We had it give us a bad joke.
Welcome to Traveling with the Mouse, the podcast where we discuss all things Disney World. I'm Jason, and I'm here with my esteemed co-hosts, John and Adam.
Hey everyone, we're excited to be back with another episode of the show.
Today, we're going to be talking about some of the latest news and rumors from the park, as well as sharing some of our own trip experiences and tips for planning a visit to Walt Disney World. But before we get started, I have to make a joke.
Oh no, here we go.
Why was Bob Chapek voted worst CEO of the year at Disney World? Because he's not Mickey Mouse.
Oh boy, that was terrible.
Yeah, let's just move on and talk about something else.
Oh no, here we go.
Why was Bob Chapek voted worst CEO of the year at Disney World? Because he's not Mickey Mouse.
Oh boy.
Right. It inadvertently wrote two jokes there. The oh boy,
yeah,
is kind of a Mickey joke.
Like, oh yeah. Boy,
that was terrible. That's how you should have
boy,
said that.
Oh boy, that was terrible. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun with this. I don't know if anybody else has checked this out. I want to share one other thing that I went and asked it. I prompted it with, are the Tom Sawyer Island rafts at Walt Disney World considered a ride?
Right. Are they?
The AI decided that the Tom Sawyer Island rafts at Walt Disney World are not considered a ride because they are a type of ferry boat that transports guests from one area of the park to Tom Sawyer Island, which is a playground-like area with various activities and attractions. The rafts do not have any specific ride elements or attractions and are mainly used as a means of transportation to and from the island. So I don't think it's right. And to just understand that it really doesn't understand what is a ride, I followed up with...
I was about to say, it doesn't think anything.
Yeah, you tried, man. You tried your best to get it to like...
Yeah, I tried to tell it, and it did not. And then I asked it, is the Liberty Square ferry boat a ride? It did not think that was a ride because it provides transportation.
It's like Jason was trying to convince the AI.
Are the Main Street vehicles a ride? I tried. I told it the raft is part of the overall attraction of Tom Sawyer Island, and the island can only be experienced by riding the rafts. And then it said, while the rafts are an integral part of the overall experience of visiting Tom Sawyer Island at Walt Disney World, they are not considered a ride in and of themselves. As I mentioned previously, and then it gave me the same explanation as before. So,
you know the expression about someone that will argue with the brick wall? We can now say that Jason will debate with AI. That's the way we'll...
I mean, this thing is super powerful.
It made some good arguments, I gotta say. Like, it made some good arguments.
Well, true. It makes logical arguments, right? I mean, that's...
It did. It did. So, we gotta make a shirt now that says the rafts aren't a ride. Sorry. I think we're gonna have to do that.
No, we're gonna have to take what the AI said verbatim and put it on a shirt. Actually,
well, it doesn't think half of the things at Disney World are a ride because it didn't think...
the challenge would be easy, according to AI.
Yeah, because
the riverboat's not a ride.
Yeah, the riverboat's not a ride. It did at least give that Space Mountain was a ride. So I was come on, give me something as a ride.
What else was it that wasn't?
The Main Street vehicles were not. Okay, I'm going to ask it right now. Do you consider what do you think might be an interesting one?
That they consider whether it's a ride? Ask him if they know about Pirates of the Caribbean. How about that?
Do you consider Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World a ride? Yes.
People Mover.
Is the People Mover at Disney World a ride? Oh, it does think that the People Mover is a ride.
That's interesting. What about
Carousel of Progress then?
It does think that the Carousel of Progress is a ride.
Because it has carousel in the name.
Was this AI designed by the Every Ride?
Like group? Kenny the Pirate.
Yeah, did Kenny write this?
All right. The last thing I wanted to share that I asked the AI, because I'm going to go do the Every Ride challenge. So I went to the Every Ride's webpage and I said, give me a strategy to complete the following challenge defined by the following rules. And I copy and pasted the rules to the Every Ride WDW challenge verbatim from their website. And put it right after the bullet. So that's to complete the Every Ride challenge consists of up to 49 moving rides all the way through. And it has the list of all of the rides just copy and pasted.
Great moving ride.
And I want to show you that we haven't quite been passed by the AI because this is the strategy it came up with. All right.
All right. Let's see.
Here is a possible strategy for completing the hashtag Every Ride WDW challenge. So pick that up out of the rules. It said, number one, okay. Review the operating hours and refurbishment schedule for all of the attractions on the day of your attempt. This will help you plan your That's route smart. And avoid wasting time on attractions that are closed or under refurbishment.
So number don't stand two, in front of the railroad station all day.
Number two, start the day at Magic Kingdom and ride all of the attractions in Fantasyland first, since this area tends to be the busiest and has the longest lines. This includes classic attractions like Peter Pan's Flight, It's a Small World, okay. and the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
So not the best.
I feel like one of those, we rope dropped Peter Pan one time, didn't we?
Yeah, Peter Pan, but like you don't need to rush to poo. But anyways, there's your clip right there, Adam.
Well, yeah, you depends shouldn't rush to poo.
Yeah. And then it says number three. After completing Fantasyland, move on to Adventureland and ride the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Jungle Cruise, and the wow. Swiss Family Treehouse.
Oh, you got to ride that. Well, I mean, Genie recommends that for you, so maybe that's where they got it, you know.
Yeah.
The same AI.
Number four, yikes. Next head to Frontierland and ride Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, and the Haunted Mansion in Frontierland. Wait, I didn't know it moved.
That ain't Frontierland, yeah.
Nope. Wrong. Then it says, in the afternoon, visit Epcot and ride all the attractions in the Future World area, including Spaceship Earth, Test Track, and Soarin'.
Future World doesn't exist anymore.
Number six, in the evening, no visit Disney's Hollywood Studios and ride all of the major attractions, such as Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Star Tours. And then number seven, finally, end the day at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is the one that's going to close first, and ride the Kilimanjaro Safaris, Expedition Everest, and the Dinosaur Attraction. All
right. It's got some work to do.
It says, remember to plan your day carefully and try to arrive at the park as early as possible to maximize your time and avoid long lines. It's also a good idea to make use of FastPass Plus reservations to skip the line at popular attractions. Don't forget to take photos or videos on each ride and use the hashtag EveryRideWDW and @RideEvery hashtags on your tweets. Good luck.
Was the language FastPass still used in the rules that you pasted, I wonder?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
It must be where it got. It didn't?
Okay. It's from its training data. It
learned. It's current?
Yeah, it learned from old data. Interesting. I think you should follow that. I think you should do it and just see what happens. Yeah. You'll show up at Animal Kingdom and it's like closed, but try it and see.
It is pretty powerful, though, that all I did was say, tell me how to do this challenge and just gave it the rules. And that's what it came up with.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. Not too shabby, to be honest.
Now, of course, you noticed it told you to do Splash and Big Thunder and it totally skipped the riverboats because it didn't consider it a ride.
Right. Now that it said this in the strategy, I'm going to say, is the Swiss Family Treehouse a ride? Since it put it in the list. Right.
Yeah.
It just told me it's not a ride. I asked it if it's a ride. It said no, even though its strategy just told me to ride the treehouse.
Well, here's the thing. I will give you $10 if you do Swiss Family Treehouse because it said so.
There you go.
I mean, I am tempted, but I'm also not as interested in doing the side challenges, maybe because this will be my son's first time running the challenge, and I kind of want him to officially get the experience. Yeah. Want to get him the experience.
If someone pays you to do the rafts, do they have to pay you to do the rafts, or are you going to do it anyway?
I'm going to skip the rafts this time. I'm going to skip the rafts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, okay, but assuming, what if somebody said, I'll donate $100 if you do the rafts, you know?
I'll skip the rafts and donate it myself.
Of course, when this comes out, you'll already have done it, so.
Yeah.
Nobody's
all right, here's some of the side challenges.
Yeah, I've seen a few people do them, but yeah, list them out for us.
There were two challenge days, as we mentioned in the last show. As we've recorded this, the 12-7 run has already finished. I am about to leave tomorrow to head down to Disney to ride on the 12-10. So this will already be over by the time this is out. But here's a couple of the side challenges to raise more money for Give Kids the World. For $100, the Pirate Kenny has pledged for the team that scores the most points on Every Ride Points. Pirate Kenny has also pledged $100 for most total rides completed at WDW. No repeats, no early park hopping. The Pirate Kenny has also pledged $5 if you sing Yo-Ho on Pirates of the Caribbean. Scott Kumka has pledged $20 for the first team to get a picture with Santa. Dudes of Disney give $2 for no ponchos on Splash Mountain. $5 from Jay Flowers or for sing a few lines of All I Want for Christmas Is You in front of one of the theme park trees. $5 if you get a drink with Christina, which is at Disneyburg during the challenge. At Disneyburg is her Twitter handle. If you get a drink with her during the challenge, she'll donate
$5. I thought he was talking about a place. It's like at Disneyburg. It's like, Disneyburg?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, where's this drink? It's just drink, and you tag her.
You have to have it with her. You have to have it with her. You have to find her and have a drink with her.
Oh, find her and get a drink. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. She also is offering $2 for a picture with Gus Gus.
Is Gus Gus even exist in the Disney parks in this day and age? He's talking about the mouse from Cinderella. That's Gus Gus.
Is he like in any? Is he on the mural, like the tile mural in the castle or something?
Maybe that's what I thought. They were talking about like a character. I was like, I didn't think he was running around as a character these days.
There might be some reference to him somewhere. There's got to be.
Maybe. Maybe that's what they mean. Where would he be?
Good question. Maybe that's why it's hard to find. Got to find it.
$10 is on the line also from Disneyburg if you film yourself singing in all four rooms of Carousel of Progress.
Oh, like on the way? Oh, that's easy.
As it turns, probably.
Yeah.
As if the you get a turns, if you get a selfie easy, in front of Rapunzel's tower with you smoldering, you get a $2 donation from Joanna Welch. And then there's an additional $10 for the team with the best smolder selfie.
Okay.
Disney in a Day is offering a $10 donation if you take a picture with something that starts with T-R-O-N-N, one letter per park, no pics of rides, for Where is Tron?
Okay.
So you have to spell out Tron across four parks. This one is $5 per park per success, or up to $20 a team per day. B.R. Taylor is offering, if you get a video in any ride line, call out the Flores Lava in 5-4-3-2-1. A success is at least one stranger plays along without being forewarned. Honor system for not warning people must video.
Okay.
Like you couldn't tell them before you started the video?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean.
Well, I mean, you could tell somebody, hey, react when I do this. Yeah, well, yeah, it makes sense.
Vicky is giving a $1 donation for every picture of yarn or a unicorn from a team. $5 from Soren over WDW if you declare People Mover Love. Yeah, say it's the best ride ever.
Yeah.
$5 per team per mode of transportation for using a Disney transportation option, bus, monorail, boat, Skyliner, etc.
Wow. Okay.
Jason might take that challenge.
Disney 12HJ is offering a $10 donation for every 60 minutes spent in the Nomad Lounge penalty box. So if you stay at Nomad Lounge all day, you raise money for Kid Kids the World.
Never mind. That's one that Jason might take out.
I would take that sacrifice. Yeah, I would take the hit on that one.
$20 for the high score on Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin from Disney 12HJ. Scott is offering the $30 for the first team to complete True Every Ride Week. So they have to ride during the week of the challenge, ride everything, including the Disney Springs, Railroad Carousel, and Hot Air Balloon.
Wow.
So during the week. So across the week.
Okay.
Why Cats Disney Dogs is offering $1 for a selfie with a cow.
A cow?
Mm-hmm.
Is there even a cow on property anymore?
Not necessarily a real cow.
Kendall's offering $2 a team if you sing with Figment and you have to hashtag it with Kent's favorite shoulder puppet.
That's funny.
That's funny. I like that.
Jay Flyers is offering $2 per team or person if you sing A Whole New World on carpets. And you also get another $2 from Jay Flyers if you get spit on by the camel. Video or pick required.
Nice.
Wildcats Disney Dogs is offering $5 for a margarita and picture with a bartender at La Cava.
Oh, man. I would totally do that. I would have been like $50 if you get Barbas. Love me some Barbas.
There you go.
Yeah.
$5 per team or person from Real Joe Spang for Smell Rome Burning on Spaceship Earth.
Ah.
Okay. Well, doesn't everybody smell it?
That's what I was about to say. I was like, do you just have to put that in the hashtag?
Do you smell it, Jason? You don't really have.
No, I don't really have a good sense of smell, so.
Mine's terrible now compared to what it once was ever since COVID.
I still smell Rome burning, though.
Right now?
I mean, not currently.
I was about to say, you still smell like it's always with you?
But I have a candle that's a bonfire, James Bonfire.
I had aroma's burning candle or whatever it was. Actually, I had spray. Room spray or whatever. Yeah, it was a spray that was room spray.
Basically, ash spray. That's what that is.
Well, it came in different things, but I got it in a room spray or whatever.
You know that smell, though, that Spaceship Earth has when you're, like, walking by it? That, like, really old, musky smell?
Okay.
You know what it is, though, right?
No.
You know, like, there's a smell that Spaceship Earth has when you walk near it.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever that is.
I thought every park had a different smell.
Well, it does, but I'm just saying Spaceship Earth has a very distinct smell when you're
I thought Epcot in general had a more distinct smell for some reason.
It just smells old.
Something that comes off of it. It's always been that way, though.
What? It smells old?
Like even back in the 80s, it had a different smell.
Anyway, I don't know what we're talking about now.
There was a smell inside Universe of Energy when it was dinosaurs. There was a smell.
Right. There's a smell of Guardians. You know that smell like Guardians has and Rise, that new smell, I guess you'd call it? There's a smell. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
There's a new attraction smell.
There is, right. It's like that new like plastic smell or I don't know what you call it.
So it's similar to like when you have new clothes that have a smell?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, new
attractions have smells until they get worn out.
They have a smell, yeah.
And washed.
Yeah, or whatever it is, just people wearing it out. Anyway.
We've done like half the show or something and not even done a single news story.
Basically.
Well, I was about to move us off to news because I think this will be big for my challenge, actually. So earlier today, Disneyland released a new version of the app. And about an hour ago, before we started recording, the Disney World app was just updated. It now supports the ability to modify your Lightning Lane selection.
Really?
Yeah. So I will have the ability to modify my selection into another. Yeah. The only thing you cannot do, apparently, is modify into a different park. It has to be an attraction within the same park if you're going to modify.
Same park.
If you want to.
Yeah. That makes sense. The real question is, why did it take them over a year to implement this when it was part of FastPass Plus, like, all along, just about? Maybe not from the very beginning, but why was this so hard to implement?
It wasn't hard to implement. They didn't want to implement it.
I guess so.
All right. They probably designed it in such a way that was not conducive to this. I know, working for a company that designs a mobile app, that sometimes things that seem quite simple can be very difficult depending on decisions made long ago. And I'm going to go ahead and guess when they rebuilt this from the ground up that they probably didn't have this as a use case, and then they designed it in such a way that they couldn't easily change it to this. So it probably took them forever to figure out how to re-architect the whole thing.
That's my guess. Why did they re-architect it? Why did they rebuild it?
Because they had to figure out how to make it money. That system didn't take your money.
Well, yeah, and whatever. People need to have stuff to do sometimes, so they have to continually
force them to design something,
reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, God.
So I'm actually wondering how this might affect my run, because now that this is available, I'm going to probably leverage Tap Grab Modify a little bit more.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, this would give you the kind of like Tap Grab Modify option again that works so well with FastPass Plus. You grab
what's available in case you can't get something better.
Grab an 8 p.m. Space Mountain, move it up to a 4 p.m., 5, whatever time you're there, you know.
Yeah.
Because it will show up.
You grab an instant for something that's nearby, but if before you get off the ride, you can get something better, you can switch it.
So surely this would only work with the regular Genie Plus, right? I mean, individual Lightning Lane would work this way too?
No,
individual Lightning Lane is not modifiable. Right? Yeah. They said they won't allow you to modify your ILL times.
Yeah, I was like, that would be hard to do.
Because I guess if you pay for that, you're not going to just cancel it, or like no one's gonna the availability's not gonna shift for those. So although I wish it would, but anyway,
could this Could this mean there might be a more consistent, we'll say, and reliable drop times if they do this? No?
I mean, there's already reliable drop times.
Yeah, I don't think the drop times will be affected. I think what this means is that the refresh will bear more fruit. Because what will happen is before, you couldn't modify. So there nobody was incentivized to say, oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to move to something later. Or, oh, I don't want to do this. I'm at the wrong side of the park. I'm going to switch to this ride. Well, and I think that's one of the things that happened with FastPass Plus as well as MaxPass is like somebody's plans changed. And what I understand is that the modify doesn't reset your two-hour window. So like, oh, modifying into something else where you're at doesn't reset your two-hour window. You can use something where you're at and then go book something else. Because say you find yourself over at Soarin' and you're about to hit your window for, I don't know, Frozen, and you got a big party, you're probably not going to make it. You could just be like, oh, I'll just take Living with the Land or Imagination, and then I'll try to get Frozen later.
Yeah, possibly. I think it definitely opens up like a kind of an open market now where it'll be easier to get Lightning Lanes for stuff because I could tell people were frustrated. I mean, everyone's frustrated with Genie Plus, but it was more of a you grab something and then you feel like you can't do anything with it because you got Slinky Dog, for example. You can't let go of that because you're never going to get it again. Right. The common guests would not try to get it again. So they'll just hold on to an 8 p.m. Slinky Dog because they're not going to get it again. This gives them a chance to move it around, to do some different things. You know?
Right.
Just talking about this, let me throw kind of a what if type thing out there. What if the way Genie Plus worked was there wasn't near as many attractions included, and say they just took some of the most popular ones and then made them all individual.
So,
and that was the only thing that you could do.
So I actually have a trip booked. I think I mentioned this last week. I'm going to Paris in March with my family, and I'm going to do a day at Disneyland Paris. And I've started looking into how it works there. And they seem to have that system where almost all the rides have what we would consider an individual Lightning Lane, like a per ride price. This. Or you could buy the package that includes all of them. And it's like $150 or $190. So it's a lot of money. Or you can be like, I only want these. I'll pay $5 for this one, $3 for that one, and $7 for this one. So, if you only are going to ride like four or five things, you're better off paying per ride. If you're going to try to ride a whole bunch, you're better off buying the whole package.
Well, see, I'm thinking something along the lines of, okay, let's just take Epcot, for instance. Sure. You don't really need one for Nemo, Imagination. You know what I'm saying? Right. Take the attractions you don't really need one for and only include the ones that you might would even need it for. Test Track, Remy's, Frozen.
Well, they need the capacity or else they wouldn't be able to sell very much. Like, it's the same thing that they do with... Here's the thing. Here's the as a Disney Vacation Club owner that likes Disney Vacation Club, which, by the way, the news hasn't been sort of breaking. It started today. The DVC annual meeting happened today. Not a whole lot said about coming out of it other than some interesting stuff about, latest and greatest of we're going to cost us more money. Moonlight Magic will be back and DCA, et cetera.
Right. The usual stuff.
Yeah. DVC uses this to great advantage because DVC has a limited points pool, but everybody wants to try to stay at a lot of the same times. So it's very hard to get it. But as long as the capacity is there throughout the entire year, they're like, well, you had an opportunity to stay. If you get to the end of your use year and you didn't get to use the points, we had enough points in the inventory that you could have stayed. You could have used your points.
It could have worked out, yeah.
You could have come. Could've. It's just like if you bought Genie Plus, they essentially get to sell it to you because there's that many places in line at that many attractions. So if they took Nemo out, for instance, then they're like, well, you could have taken Nemo. It was available.
Right. Had that. Muppet Vision 3D. was there,
that's
man.
That's the way you would take it. I couldn't get, it's like, oh, I couldn't get Test Track, but okay, I'll take Nemo.
Apples and
that's
oranges.
That's exactly how people think.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. No one's going to take that.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, this doesn't, it's not the same thing. Oh, wow. I mean, it kind of is, but it's different products, really.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to test this modify feature.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll be driving down tomorrow, so I have an Epcot booked. Because I feel like my go-to now is on the days that I drive down, book Epcot, get Guardians, so that when you get there, that's what you're going to do. But I'm probably just going to book random... Well, I probably won't pay for Genie Plus for tomorrow. I almost want to just to test this, just to test the modify.
Yeah.
The day before. Because
if you're doing a challenge run, you kind of want to see how it works. Since this is a new feature, it makes sense to be able to test it out a little bit. It's probably not going to be $29 tomorrow, so.
Yeah, probably won't be. I'll see what it is. I might just test it because, like, I kind of want to test out and get the kinks out before I,
What has it been?
Actually,
like 17 the last several days. Let's see. What is it today, though?
They aren't selling anymore today.
Oh, it's too late, yeah.
If we keep talking for like another hour, we'll know what the price 15? Is for tomorrow.
You know what tomorrow
is?
It
was 15 today. It was 15.
It was 15? See, I'm thinking it's going to be around 15. Yeah. Just because this is a traditionally slow week.
Right. It builds up the closer you get to Christmas, New Year's, and then it kind
of... Usually your first 2 weeks of December are slow.
So the time we go back, it'll be 29 again every freaking day.
So
what'd you say, 39?
Yeah, it might be by then. Anyway.
Before we go back to the news, I wanted to bring up, Adam, you have a trip booked for Christmas.
Currently, right? Yes. Currently. And so do you, apparently.
I have a Sorcerer's Pass, so I don't have tickets. So I'd have to buy tickets.
Yeah.
And, you know, DVC this close out wouldn't have availability. So I was like, well, I'd have to buy a hotel and tickets. And the price was just a lot, considering I haven't paid. But today, I was just like...
Astronomical.
At times, I'll just go on the DVC website and just look for... I would always check, like, the weekend I'm about to have to see if something better came up. I check the dates that you're going to be there. I'll check some future dates. And it was just a random time today. I went and plugged in your dates, 25 to 28. And there was a studio garden pool view at Boardwalk. I don't even have to change hotels for all three nights that had just apparently someone had just canceled their trip. So I picked it up.
Yeah.
Now I got to decide if I'm going to keep it because... To get 3 days of park tickets with Park Hoppers is about $600. And I saved by going to Sorcerer's Pass from IncrediPass about $300. So,
Oops.
So I got to decide if I'm going to do this. But
You will double it.
It was crazy to find a studio just like that. Christmas all the way to the 28th. The only problem is that assuming I do this trip.
Maybe they couldn't find park reservations.
My use year restarts in October. My use year restarts in October, and I'll have 7 points left for the. I have 7 points left for the year.
Yeah,
already
with 10 months to go.
Yeah, I still have next year's points to borrow.
Right, you could borrow, but that also means. I mean, it basically means you're going to have to buy more points. I mean, that's what every DVC member does. They eventually just buy more points.
Or I'm going to have to just stay at Grandestino for the next 10 months.
Well, you have that option, too.
And paying of cash.
That's what we did last week, and it was, awesome, as always. Grandestino was great.
Did you get Dahlia Lounge? I don't know if I ever found out if you got to go up there.
No, we didn't, which is funny. Like, we spent so much time in the parks, but we did do Brown Derby Lounge, which didn't you do that recently as well?
I did. When I was down there for watching Fantasmic, I landed at Brown Derby Lounge.
Did you get Danielle as your server? Because she's the fantastic
I don't remember who my server was. I don't remember.
She was great. She remembered us as well, which is funny. I mean, people tend to remember us. We kind of stand out. But she remembered us. Barbas, of course, remembers us. But Yeah, they're.
And then, every time we go to Bar Riva,
they're numerous.
Every time we go to Bar Riva,
Chris,
he's like, sorry, Chris. Go away.
Sorry about that. Yeah. We made a thing about that one.
Chris like runs the other direction.
He's a great bartender, though.
Since you're talking about how well known you are at lounges, just another news story.
Yeah.
It is now true that liquor is available at all table service restaurants at the Magic Kingdom. So I don't think this was true when you went there, but it is now available at the Plaza restaurant that had mixed drinks at earlier today.
Yeah, all I could do was, there was, like I said, I got the Fess Parker Riesling while I was there, but they had like beer and wine choices. That was it.
They're now serving at the Plaza the last word.
Every. I'm saying, so basically Magic Kingdom is the same as the others now, just about.
Well, here's a question. The restaurants currently have it. When are they going to have kiosks? Like the egg cart roll, egg cart stand.
I don't know. I don't see that one happening.
I feel like
I don't think they want people walking around drunk in Magic Kingdom.
They're trying. They are going to work there. I mean, I feel like it's going to eventually hit the quick services, beer and wine, and they're slowly working this in. It's going to hit Pecos Bills, Pinocchio, Village Hoos, and all the others. You'll get beer and wine. I bet you anything. Eventually, it's going to happen.
It'll drive up sales.
Yeah, it will. It'll happen.
Kind of sad, actually, but
I mean, yes, Walt did not. He's famously quoted as saying, you know, that he didn't want that in Magic Kingdom or Disneyland, of course, but.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that's taken place that Walt didn't want, so.
Right.
I have a quiz.
He's been dead for 60 years? What, I don't know. Anyway.
I have a little guessing game for you. Are you ready?
Yeah. Guess.
Okay. Which of the Magic Kingdom table service restaurants do you think has, first of all, the cheapest drink overall? Just the cheapest drink overall. Yeah, mixed drink. Cheapest mixed drink.
Tony's.
No, I don't think it would be Tony's, actually.
I'm trying to think of what's like.
I would think.
Liberty Tree?
You said, okay, among the table service, right? Which one would be the cheapest?
That's the only ones that have the cocktails as the table service.
It's not going to be Beer Guest. It's not going to be.
The cheapest is the Jack Rose at the Crystal Palace for $13.50.
I should have thought about it.
Laird's Applejack Brandy, Hibiscus Grenadine. $13. Lemon juice and lime juice. Okay. Which restaurant do you think has the lowest average price for all of their cocktails? The lowest average.
Plaza.
Yeah, it's probably like Crystal Palace Plaza or Tony's. One of those three, probably.
The Cinderella's Royal Table has two cocktails available. What? They both cost $14.50. They have a French 75 and they have a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, Bloody Mary there.
Yeah. Yeah, could you imagine having a Bloody Mary with Cinderella? Yeah,
that's crazy.
Okay. All right. Which two restaurants serve the most expensive cocktail? It's the same cocktail. It's called The Last Word, and it costs $18. The most expensive cocktail. Which two restaurants do you believe would serve that?
Skipper Canteen.
Be Our Guest.
Yeah, I was going to say Be Our Guest. But anyway.
The Crystal Palace. And the Plaza restaurant.
What?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Plaza also has the Jack Rose for $13.50. So the Crystal Palace and the Plaza have both the cheapest and most expensive drink.
Well, already then.
Honestly, looking at the Little Italy cocktail at Tony's Town Square, that might be the best thing they probably serve there. They have a Little Italy cocktail that's Knob Creek Rye Whiskey. Good stuff. Amaro, Averna, Siciliano liqueur, sweet vermouth garnished with Lusardo cherries. That's probably the most high quality thing they have at that restaurant. So
here's a new, I'll donate to your Give Kids the World if you stop at Tony's and order that drink. And that's it. Nothing else. Just go get the drink and leave. There you go.
Which restaurant at Magic Kingdom is better? Tony's Town Square. Or Skipper Canteen. We're asking the AI.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they are not able to provide a recommendation because they are just an AI. It says
because they're AI. I mean, they.
Oh right.
It says it's best to consult online reviews or ask friends and family.
Well, it's definitely not Chinese.
Just ask it what its favorite food is. Period.
I mean, it is not Tony's.
All right, let's hit the big news stories before we wrap up. But before we do, Adam, I think this would be a great time to remind people if they are going to buy an $18 cocktail at Disney World, there's a great way to get 3% back on it.
Yeah. How can one do that? Let's see. Because your kids and the adults can both do...
Greenlight.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle, no kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
There it was. We're getting used to this ad placement thing.
Yeah, so we're getting there. We're getting there.
Just flows right off the tongue.
Well, that leads us into the biggest stories of the week. The number one story, we've been waiting for this announcement. January 23rd, that's the date, Splash Mountain, closing permanently.
Of course, big news.
Princess Tiana refurbishment taking over. How many animatronics are going to be working on January the 22nd?
Because they aren't going to be doing any, that's any interesting. Maintenance.
I've seen people all of a sudden, the ones that do videos, of course, want to go already do videos for it.
Right.
So, I mean, in California as well. I mean, California is the one I saw just recently. One of my regulars.
How many bloggers are going to be hovering at the line entrance 2 minutes before the end of the night in front of the Splash Mountain entrance to try to be the last person to ride the ride?
A lot will, yeah. It's going to be nuts that day. I was there the last day of Maelstrom, and nobody cared about Maelstrom. But the last day was like insane. And I waited an hour to ride Maelstrom on its last day.
Yeah.
Did you see Let It Go?
Splash is going to be nuts. Yeah, I did not. I did not. But yeah, it's Splash is going to be like 10 times that level, I would assume, on its last day. And yes, half of the animatronics will probably not be working by the time January rolls around.
I don't know. I mean, that last day, I'm going to say that Brer Rabbit is going to be hopping.
Really?
Say, I don't know.
I would say, okay, buy a lotto ticket today and see what happens.
They're going to move the Yeti into Splash Mountain and have it move
right
on the last day.
Right.
Ah, where would you place the Yeti?
Right before the drop.
Right at the drop?
Yeah.
He's going to be at the top in place of like
strobe light as you're going down. But we don't have an actual close date for Disneyland yet, do we? Still? I haven't seen one yet. It's just Magic Kingdom that's closing on the 23rd.
Yeah, they have not announced the Disneyland date yet.
They specifically said Magic Kingdom, yeah. So it typically goes down for refurb towards the end of January every year anyway. So this was like, makes sense that they would close it and then just do the remodel or redesign then. I love how, you know, people are like, Splash Mountain closing permanently. Like, technically that's true, but the ride itself is not going to change as far as like the ride.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're bulldozing the whole ride.
The AI, by the way, believes that Splash Mountain is in fact a ride.
Okay. Well, I would agree.
Closing for good. I mean, the Toad's track, one of the tracks is still there, but yet it's not Toad. So, yeah.
Sure. I mean, yes, it is. But I'm just saying, like, you're still going to do a ride where you drop 50 feet and get wet and splash. And yeah, it's still going to happen. The ride itself is pretty much the same. It's just a different experience.
Okay. So Frozen is still really Maelstrom.
No, but I'm just saying it's like it's the same ride. It still feels super old when you're going up that hill and you're like clack, 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 clack. Like this ride was built 30 years ago.
No, it doesn't. I mean, while you're going up that hill, you're hearing, hey,
Can barely hear that because it's like, yeah, it's pretty rough. I'm still going to have fun on Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Just saying, it's going to be.
I'm excited about Tiana's.
Right. And it looks like they're actually investing some money in this based on the new concept art. I'm like, okay, they're actually, I think, at least I hope they are.
How much of the old ride is going to actually be utilized when this is all said and done?
All the animatronics, they're going to repurpose for different animals. I think so. Or at least most of them.
I was going to say, they can repurpose Brer Fox and Brer Bear and
I mean, they'll repurpose them into something else. Yeah, I think so. I'd say like the smaller ones, because you saw that new concept art that had like a lot of animals still. They're just slightly different, right? So
What about the ones that came from the old Mickey Mouse review that were in there?
Which ones came from animatronics? Like the forest animals from...
There's some of the ones that were on the showboat, if I'm not mistaken, or that scene.
Probably. I hope they keep them. I think they will. Why wouldn't they?
We could definitely, the riverboat right there kind of fits with the New Orleans theme, so they could probably still keep that somehow.
I bet they will.
If they decide to. So
I feel like they will. They'll just have a different song.
Right, yeah, the ending, they could still do, you know, it'd probably just be dig a little deeper or whatever, probably, at the end.
How long was Maelstrom closed before it became frozen? It was like at least a year, maybe? Wasn't it like, did it close in like 2014? And Frozen opened in 2016 or no? Let's see. Frozen River After, it opened June 21st, 2016.
And Maelstrom closed October 5th, 2014.
Right. Okay. So it was about a year and a half. Is that accurate? A little over a year and a half. So, okay. That's basically what's going to happen here. Same thing.
And I can't think of anything that they kept from Maelstrom, though.
I mean, aren't the boats the same?
Well, other than the boats, but I mean, I'm talking about the scenery. I can't think of anything they kept. The only thing I think they might have kept. Well, no, the only thing I think they might have kept is in the queue. No, the queue's not similar at all. They totally. Well,
that open room is like they rearranged it, but I mean, like they. Well, I guess they rethemed.
Because you get on. Where you get on the boats is where you're used to
exit, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I'm talking about the queue, like where the buildings and whatever, didn't that used to be the same?
I think those buildings, they look similar to the ones you used to see in that area right before you saw the film.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're exactly, they may have repurposed some of them.
Right. I just feel like that room is similar. But anyway, we're rambling about that. Yeah. It's no big deal. But
all right. The only other big story that we need to talk about.
Big story,
There is a rumor. A rumor, I should say.
Rumor.
That Disney's CFO and person that led the charge to oust Bob Chapek, Christine McCarthy, may be the front runner for CEO.
Sure.
That would be interesting because essentially, what's to say she didn't try to get Chapek ousted because she wanted to take his spot if that was the case?
It's possible.
It would look that way anyway.
It's possible.
I don't really know her per se. I don't like the idea of a CFO becoming a CEO necessarily. I feel like, okay, so let's take the successful years of Disney's past, right? There was
Roy.
A dreamer and a realist.
I mean, it worked until for Roy for a few years, right? He got Disney World open.
He got Disney World open, but
the CFO, right?
He was, but I mean, it got Disney World open, but he like died almost immediately after it was open.
Right.
And we're also talking about a time period when, let's be honest, the way it was run was not the best in the world, period.
The dark years.
Following, yeah.
Sure.
But what I was going to say, though, is, you know, when this was all getting dreamed up and the company itself, when it worked its best, you had a duo of a dreamer and a realist.
Yeah.
Really.
Eisner and Frank Wells, that's what you're referring to.
Yep, that was the next duo.
Yep.
So it seems to have worked best there. I don't know who Iger really had as the realist. Yeah. He seems to be an exception, I guess, right now, but just in general.
Yeah.
I don't think a numbers person needs to be at the front, we'll say. They need to be a part of it, but they don't need to be the face. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, we don't know much about her other than on some of the earnings calls, she sort of made fun of guests. I don't know if made fun of is the right word, but she sort of made comments about the guests being overweight. Is that fair to say? On some of those earnings calls. She said that
it would be helpful if they reduced portion sizes.
Portion sizes.
Good for their waistline.
Helpful for the guests, yeah. Which is like...
If we gave people smaller portions and charged them the same as the previous
Or charged them more, even.
The same or more.
Right, which is ridiculous. But, so I agree in the sense that a numbers person not necessarily should be running the show by themselves, but I mean, we should also say maybe a woman's perspective is a good thing. Like, she would have different ideas than some of the other CEOs that have been around. So, but I think she's the front runner in the sense that, yeah, she got rid of Chapek. She was kind of the person that like made that happen. So she's the obvious choice at this point. We literally are week two of Iger coming back. There's two more years to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens in the next year and a half. Somebody else may emerge. Maybe there'll be, you know, some outsider like we think. I think we've sort of agreed an outsider might be a good choice at this point. Somebody who can handle the multifaceted entity that is Disney at this point.
Like Tom Staggs?
I mean, I kind of feel like that. I just feel like the person who has all these big ideas that also has somebody with the capability of keeping them in check of what's doable has always worked best for this company. Checks and balances.
Right. The dreamer and the realist together.
I don't feel like Chapek had any checks and balances. That was part of the
problem. Yeah, he had a lot of yes men or yes people around him. And I think, I mean, that's what Iger said. I remember reading an interview where he said the reason he wanted to retire was because he felt like there was not enough people around him to check him. And he felt like he got to the point where he felt like his decisions, there was no like...
There was nobody who questioned him.
Right. So it was just like everyone just sort of got to the point where they're like, yep, you have this track record of great deals and decisions. Like, these acquisitions were amazing. Everyone's like, yep, whatever you think is right is the best thing. And he's like, when you get to that point, it's time to go because you're going to make bad decisions.
Shouldn't we still be potentially questioning, what was that theory that was brought up about, are they... They still technically owe for all these things that he's purchased, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Fox acquisition, I think, is the one that most people have pointed to. It ended up costing them way more than they originally were going to and were wanting to spend. Comcast had a lot to do with that. They
helped drive up the price, but, I mean, Disney didn't have to. Disney could have just actually done exactly what Comcast was trying to do to Disney. They could have just said, oh, okay, and let them have it.
Right, and then let them be the ones that are struggling to pay for Epic Universe, but yet they're like,
he could have done that.
Lightning speed with that.
For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, if Iger and what's the current CEO at Universal's name? Anyway, I don't know if they have like
Satan.
If he like has this thing about always wanting to one up him, so Satan, whatever.
I don't like Comcast. Sorry.
I don't know if he has this thing about always wanting to one up him. It seemed like, but it just felt that way because he always seemed to want to do that.
Right. I think. Yeah, it was known that they have some bad blood, so they just don't like each other. They're gonna
for whatever it is
do whatever they have it out for each other.
But I still felt like it was a one sided thing, though, because it didn't feel like Universal was trying to do to Disney what Disney was trying to do to Universal. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't feel that way. It felt like it was a one sided affair, and I'm like, okay, what is it that you always feel like you have to best them in every what is it about this rivalry or whatever it is?
Yeah,
so
don't know.
And it feels like it's probably going to happen that way again.
Probably. I mean, it's Iger. I mean, it's still Iger.
But one could make the argument, did he truly best them with, say, okay, Galaxy's Edge, right? Or was it Galaxy's Edge that was the answer to Harry Potter, or was it?
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, Avatar kind of was, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's questionable, did he actually end up besting him in the area?
It's questionable. We've talked about kind of going through Galaxy's Edge. We really should do a comparison of
how we feel about it now
versus what we got. And it's like, I like Galaxy's Edge, but I'm not like...
It wore off fast.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't mind going through there, but it's like, I don't want to wait in line to go to Doc Ondar's. I don't want to... The marketplace is okay, but the stuff there is not really changed. The Falcon is cool to see, but...
Right.
Smuggler's Run is kind of, you know, the B attraction. I don't know. It's like, it's fine, but there's not anything that's like, I have to go to Galaxy's Edge every time, you know? Here's the thing. Hollywood Studios, I love that park right now, but I love hanging out in the area, the Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard area. That's my favorite part of the park. It is. It's my favorite part. Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land are okay, but that's my favorite part.
The whole thing feels cramped to me now. Just saying.
It is. But it's still like, there's a lot of nostalgia there, but it's also like, to me, it's the best part of the park is the entrance area. It's the best part. And they've spent billions on Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge, and it's like, I could do without it. I would love, if I could just sit around and I didn't have to entertain kids all day, I would just hang out at Brown Derby Lounge. I would hang out at Baseline. I would hang out around Sunset Boulevard. Like, I probably wouldn't even go anywhere beyond that. That's just me. So,
it's a good choice. It's a good choice.
Just saying.
So you would say, bring back the backlot tour.
I'm not going to go that far, but I'm just saying, as far as like having fun as an adult, Brown Derby Lounge, Baseline, Tap House, those are top five places to hang out. So just saying, it has nothing to do with Oga's Cantina is not my favorite. It's just not. It's overpriced, hard to get in, takes forever to wait around for that. And it's like, it's not worth it. So they made it too small, and, you know, the Docking Bay 7 is not great.
Yeah, none of the food over there is what it lived up to the expectations.
I don't want to pay $8 for a thimble full of this milk that's not great, the milk stand. It's not worth it. There's never a line there, by the way, if you look around. Like, nobody wants it. Like, they overpriced it. Yeah, it's a gimmick. They overpriced it. Nobody cares anymore. They should change that. Anyway.
All right. I think I have a way for us to finish this podcast out. Are you ready?
All right. Lord. Okay.
I said, write a podcast monologue from Adam that explains why Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land isn't great, but Brown Derby Lounge and Baseline Tap House are great.
Didn't I just do that?
All right. Yeah. Would you like to hear what the chat
from AI?
Would you like to hear what the AI says?
Let's see if it's better than what I said.
I'm going to be Adam here for a second. Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of The Disney Fanatic, where we share our thoughts and opinions on all things Disney. I'm your host, Adam, and today I want to talk about some of the new additions to the Disney parks and why I think some of them are hits and some of them are misses. First, let's talk about Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Star Wars and Toy Story as much as the next person, but I have to say that I was a little disappointed by these new lands at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I found them to be a bit underwhelming and not as immersive as I was expecting. The Star Wars land in particular felt a little empty and lacking in character. The Toy Story land was a bit better, with some fun rides and attractions, but overall, I was expecting more. Now let's talk about some of the things I really loved at the parks. The Brown Derby Lounge and Baseline Tap House at Disney's Hollywood Studios were two of my favorite spots. Huh. The Brown Derby Lounge is a beautiful, old-school Hollywood-themed bar with a fantastic selection of cocktails and snacks. I loved the ambiance and the attention to detail in the decor. The Baseline Tap House, on the other hand, is a modern, industrial-themed craft beer bar with a great selection of beers and some tasty snacks. I loved the relaxed atmosphere and the friendly staff. In conclusion, while I was a little disappointed by Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land, I was pleasantly surprised by the Brown Derby Lounge and the Baseline Tap House. If you're looking for a great place to grab a drink or a bite to eat at Disney's Hollywood Studios, I highly recommend checking out these two spots. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Disney Fanatic.
It said it. Disney Fanatic. I think there's probably already a podcast called that.
But you were surprised by these places that you go every time you go?
Okay. Okay, here's an interesting question, though, that it raised. I thought, what would you take Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance over Slinky Dog and, say, Toy Story Mania?
I don't know.
I'd take Slinky and Toy Story Mania any day over the Star Wars ride.
So but you've done them so many times now. That's the problem.
I have. Okay, sure. Right. If I hadn't done Rise, it's amazing, right? But I've done it a dozen times or whatever at this point. I would take repeatability, Slinky, and Toy Story Mania. I would do 100 times over Smuggler's Run and Rise. Totally.
What if Rise's wait were only around 30 minutes?
I would take Slinky. If you said 30 minutes for Slinky and Rise, I'm going Slinky every time.
Huh.
Totally.
Every time.
Slinky's better. Sorry. I don't know why I'm saying that now. Maybe I don't know, but
I think Rise isn't a great experience. I think from I'm going to just sit back and enjoy a ride. Slinky is a ride. Like, I'll be honest, if you were to marathon Rise, it's not the ride you're going to marathon. And ride over and over again.
Slinky, I would ride it all day if I could.
I was going to say, first of all, if you marathoned like the both of them, like one person did one and the other, you're going to get way more rides on Slinky than you are Rise.
Probably, because it'll break down
after that. Well, I was going to say, there's that, but then there's also how much longer it takes to do the experience.
Good point.
I don't know.
But even Smuggler's Run, it's fine, but I would take Toy Story Mania over that.
I think I might take Smugglers over Toy Story Mania.
The funny thing with Smugglers, the funnest part is the stuff you get to see in general, like on the way there and then even in it. You know what I mean? It's not the what you do so much as the what you see on the way, I guess.
To me, if I'm not pilot, it's boring because all I do is push the same button 100 times in a row.
What I said, not the game aspect of
right.
it. The visual aspect of Smuggler's Run in general is its most appealing attribute.
Adam,
I suppose.
Do you think if you marathoned Toy Story Mania, you would be able to... I don't know.
I would probably be sore at the end of it because I go to...
You're going
to
be sick.
Right. But here's the thing. I've learned several things. Like, for example, at Toy Story Mania, you can make on the Buzz Lightyear one, you can make the rocket ship take off. On the dinosaur one, you can make the volcano explode. There's several things you can do. To me, the hardest one is getting the rocket ship to take off. But there's different things you can do, like to make it more fun. To me, it's harder to get a good score on Toy Story Mania. And that's why I like it so much, is it's a challenge. It's like Buzz Lightyear, once you know, Space Ranger Spin, once you know where the targets are, you can max out every time easily. But with Toy Story Mania, it's not so easy to get a really high score. You have to work at it.
Exactly. As we've seen from Craig, you have to really work at it.
Yeah, right.
So just so you know, I have never looked up or asked you to tell me where the targets in Buzz Lightyear are. So I actually don't know how to get the top score in Buzz Lightyear right now.
Right.
Have you looked up the targets in Toy Story Midway Mania?
No, but I have gotten better at Midway Mania because I don't go after any of the 100 points. I only go after the top point stuff. So fewer shots.
A lot of it, you keep it low. Yeah.
Because there's secrets to the getting Mania too. If you just look,
there are, but it's like I said,
it's more difficult to do.
If you can get right, that's what I'm saying. The rocket ship, if you can get it to take off, the volcano. But once you, like for example, the volcano, it's easy to get the volcano to explode, but it's not easy to get all the points that you can get after. You know, you have to be good. Like you have to be accurate.
So you have to get the volcano to explode and the rocket to take off.
Those are the two that come to mind. Like, there are other things, too, but it's cool. I've only gotten the rocket to take off once. It's not easy to do because you have to get all the, like, the little aliens pop back up. It's like whack-a-mole. You have to get all of them cleared at the same time before it does. Anyway, we're rambling a lot, but it's, anyway, that's what I'm saying. I would take Toy Story Land over Galaxy's Edge. I really would.
It's been an interesting episode.
We hit the highlights. We sort of inversed it this episode because we did the news last.
We didn't even need the news.
Yeah. Hope everybody follows along on Saturday. By the time that you hear this, it will have already happened. So go back and if you didn't follow along, go look at the Twitter links so that you can donate to Give Kids the World. And if you want to find us on any of these social medias, where would you go?
Well, there is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. There is a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel where you can find a few videos there.
And it's also on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want some assistance booking your next Disney World, even Universal or Cruise Line vacation, you can reach our travel agent friend, Jill Dilbeck. Her email is jilldilbeck@gmail.com. It's also linked on our website and by Greenlight.
Yeah. And so, for John and Adam, this is Jason. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you'll join us on our next trip.
I thought for a minute there, when you were doing the Jill Dilbeck spots, you were going to say, if you need help traveling with the mouse. So it sounded like you
actually started to say that.
Yeah. I was like, I actually would have fit. He's like, if you need help traveling with the mouse, contact Jill Dilbeck, and if you need help paying for the mouse,
get Greenlight.
Get the Greenlight credit card.
Ooh, I like this. We've got our new ad reads.
Yeah. I like it.